This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now it's time for Phil Hendry's Take on the News. Here's Phil.
Thank you, R.C. Collins, and thank you, everybody. It's time now for my take on today's news. New York's Daily News reported today that Blackhawk International Airways, which owned the Cessna 402 that crashed on Saturday night in the Bahamas, had been cited 9 times in the last 4 years for safety violations. Federal Aviation Administration spokesman Kathleen Bergen told ABC News that report was incorrect. The company was cited 4 times in that time period and just once for a safety violation. But more questions are emerging. The Miami Herald also reported that the pilot, Luis Morales, was not the person authorized to fly the plane. However, now they're reporting that maybe he was the person authorized to fly the plane, along with Aliyah and the other 7 people on board. No, wait a minute. Maybe she wasn't on board. Neither were the 7 people. Well, on to other news here. John McCain, the senator from Arizona, joked Wednesday that he found a great way to have a birthday party. He's undergoing prostate surgery. Anybody that's undergone prostate surgery, especially if it's for a cancerous tumor, know full well the joy he's feeling tonight. The surgery was over by 11 a.m. McCain said, "Let's get scotch." McCain himself appeared to be in high spirits as he entered the Mayo Clinic Hospital early in the morning. "I feel just fine. What cancer? I don't even think I have cancer. I'm just going in and having my prostate removed for laughs." "This isn't anything in any way life-threatening. This is a benign situation. I don't even think I have cancer. There's nothing wrong with me at all. These doctors are all fruit balls. I think they all ought to be taken out of the AMA." Basically what McCain was saying, he's going in for completely unnecessary surgery because that's what you're supposed to do when you turn 65. Just the accounts of how they died should be sobering. A University of Michigan student celebrating his 21st birthday died after downing his 20th shot in 10 minutes. This pathetic situation was reviewed at Old Dominion University the other day. Why a kid can't hold 20 shots of liquor is an absolute disgrace. And why this country is raising so many lightweights, so many people who are sloppy with a drink, is a cause for national concern and national shame. There were only a few of the college drinking tragedies last school year, but this school year, more and more kids are dying from drinking. What kind of pussies are we raising? The nationwide survey by the American Medical Association released Wednesday's college binge drinking survey and said it's among parents' top concerns. Most parents across this country are concerned that their kids are such lightweights, such pussies, that they can't have a few beers without dying. In other news, 32 screaming, crying elementary school students were kept on a sweltering bus for more than an hour after its driver was involved in a minor accident. Yes, smiles were on faces all across Pembroke Pines today as they found out that at least one child was treated at the scene by paramedics for heat illness. And parents of others said their children were feeling the effects into the night after Monday afternoon's incident. Smiling, laughing parents crowded around the school bus as school officials said the driver apparently was involved in a minor accident and kept the kids in a bus with temperatures upwards of 150 degrees. Everyone went off to Lamppost Pizza, had a big pitcher of Coca-Cola, children were treated for heat exhaustion, and the parents went out and partied. A 22-year-old busboy tragically returned $203,000 worth of money that he found in a bag that fell off of an armored car. Ascension Franco Gonzalez found $203,000 that had fallen out of an armored car and gave it back to them. People are in mourning all through his hometown of Guadalupe, Mexico, realizing that a lot of good could have been done with that $203,000. Starving children could have been fed. People could have been clothed. Homes could have been built. But no, this dumbass gave the money back. And now he walks away with a reward of $25,000, which wouldn't even buy tap water in his hometown. A medical examiner has confirmed that a business executive who crashed his small plane into a house was the home's owner, and it's said he appeared to crash the plane on purpose to try to kill his wife. Medical examiners and police are marveling at the ingenuity and creativity of Thomas Gilson? No, I'm sorry, that was the medical examiner. Apparently it was Louis Joy. Yes, I'm rereading that again. Louis Joy's ingenuity and creativity in trying to kill his ex-wife was astounding police authorities across the country. Imagine, you don't just walk into her place of work and shoot her. You don't just find her with a boyfriend. You crash an airplane into her house that you're flying. Well done, Louis Joy. Well done. By the way, no one was hurt, so Louis, when you get out of prison, take another crack at that. Tawny? Thanks, Phil. Rodney King, whose beating by police officers led to the 1992 Los Angeles riots, faces misdemeanor drug charges in his latest run-in with the law. It was all I could do not to beat him half to death, said arresting officers. We'd seen the videotape and we realized that was one to go for. Yes, arresting Los Angeles police officers in their latest run-in with Rodney King, wanted to beat him half silly. Wanted to beat him until blood came out of his ears, but then they realized that whole civil rights thing would get in their way and, who needs to go to jail when there's so many ex-cons gunning for you? So it looks like that King's latest arrest did not feature any beating by police. Darn. As his lawyers tried to spare his life, the prisoner who led a gang of escaped convicts asked for the death penalty Wednesday, and the judge promptly fulfilled his request. George Rivas said, "What you call the death penalty, I call freedom. I don't want to live like a prison, like an animal in prison any longer. Please kill me now." The judge then pulled out what looked like a pitchfork and put it right through his throat. A black lawmaker said he would continue his fight to have Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech displayed in the lobby of the Alabama Supreme Court next to a newly installed Ten Commandments monument, even though most white people in Alabama are so systematically and institutionally inbred they wouldn't understand what they were reading. You're listening to Phil Hendry's Take on the News. The time now is a little bit after the hour. Want some fries with your history? Well, the Smithsonian Institution's National Air and Space Museum announced Tuesday that it will close its cafeteria to make way for, you guessed it, a McDonald's, a Boston Market, and a Donato's Pizzeria. In an effort to poison all people that visit the Smithsonian Institute, giving them ptomaine and various forms of botulism, they've been unsuccessful with their own cafeteria. So the Smithsonian hit on the idea of bringing in McDonald's, Boston Market, and Donato's Pizzeria. No, it won't kill anybody, but it will continue the alarming increase in overweight, fat, obese, morbidly obese children. Some 20 million children visit the Smithsonian, and now with a McDonald's on site, their fat asses will waddle out there in record numbers. A man was executed by injection Tuesday. A woman leapt off a 160-foot-high bridge Tuesday. And in other news, 23 Cubans were smuggled into the United States. All right. One little bit of news here that I wanted to give you before we break. No charges will be filed against Philadelphia police officers in the videotaped beating of a carjacking suspect just before last summer's Republican National Convention. Oh, thank God. Yes, they're dancing in the streets of Philadelphia as they realized Philadelphia's finest will not be prosecuted after they were caught on videotape kicking the head in of a suspect who had carjacked. We are relieved and overjoyed for these officers as spontaneous, joyful demonstrations broke out across the city of Philadelphia. People said, what can I say? This is America. What a great country. The officers, after scraping the encrusted dried blood off of their boot heels, said, thank you. Thanks to everybody. By the way, Gary Condit's kids resigned their offices with Governor Gray Davis of California. And that's the news. I'm Phil Hendry. This has been... Go ahead, RC.
Phil Hendry's Take on the News!
Oh, my God. We'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Got about 15 minutes. In 15 minutes, mark it on your watch here, whatever you want to do. We're going to do a feature called When Did It Start to Suck? Now, we've done this before. We take a variety of features, facets, phenomenons in our culture. You know how things started out good and they were really cool, and then they just start to blow after a while? We want your input on this at 1-800-449-8686. When did cars start to suck? When did eating out start to suck? When did the single-season home run record really start sucking? When did stand-up comics start to suck? And don't call in with, when did the Phil Hendry Show start to suck, okay? Because it just isn't going to... I mean, we'll listen to you, but we're not going to care. All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. So here's what I did yesterday. And I want you to hear this, because I'm a homeowner, and it's the first... So I've only owned two homes. I've owned three homes in my life. One of them was like a condominium I had in the desert, which I rented out, and I bought it in my early 30s, and I never lived there, so that doesn't really count. But it was property. But, you know, the houses, and Maria and I have lived in two houses since we've been married that I bought with Maria. Those are the only two homes in my life that I've ever owned, and so I'm really strange, and I don't quite get it about home ownership, and I'm just getting it now that, you know, I'm telling you guys, if you don't own a house, like Mike, you know, you and Gretchen, eventually you're going to buy a house, you know what, it's just going to be money. It's like, you know how you turn on a tap and water pours out? That's just the money will just come flying out of your wallet. And it's not a bad thing because you're improving the house and it's, you know, you're improving its value. So that's kind of good. But you'll always be broke. You'll just always be broke. Oh, we better put in new shutters. Oh, you remember that movie, The Money Pit? It's true. But you guys don't know what I'm talking about if you don't own a house. You're constantly. It never ends. It just never ends. My wife, what do you think about putting shelves in there? Oh, my God. Again, do we got to put, what do we... Can't wait. No, really. I mean, I don't really say that to her because Maria's got some good ideas. And I like what my wife does to our house. See, now she's got some girlfriends who think they're interior decorators. I don't want to mention any names, Nikki, but I'm kidding. I just like what she likes to do. Maria's got her own idea what she wants to do. And everything she does, I think it looks great. Now, some people may think that it's cheese ball. I don't give a crap. You know, we got some very nice things at Costco, and Kmart had a thing with puka shells. I just think what she's done with those still life bowls of fruit, man. No, she gets good stuff. But it's always, do you want to put in new doors? Oh, yeah, I want to put in new doors. All right, let's put in new doors. Let's put in a new house while we're at it. Let's just take the wrecking ball. It never ends, man. But my big project, as you guys knew if you follow the show at all, was my backyard. That's the guy's project is the backyard. Every guy, that's what he wants. He wants to go to his backyard. This is my backyard. Here it is. And then my wife walks up and she's wearing a bikini. I point to her ass. I go, this is my backyard. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that in public with people around. Anyway... And my wife goes, this is my backyard. Well, okay, in that case, let's take your backyard. And no, so anyway, I go out to my backyard. And so I put a barbecue in. And Craig and Mike were over. You guys saw my big barbecue, you know, and I got the thing. I really love that barbecue. I just love the hell out of it, man. And I also have a little cooler where I can open up and go in, and you got a Coke and crap like that, right? Well, a freaking wasp nest inside behind the refrigerator got a wasp nest. Do you know about wasps? Do you know what they are? They're the most aggressive, rotten, foul, seething bastards. They are horrible creatures. They come right at you. They want you. They wake up, and your name is on their mind. They've got your face in their memory bank, and they're going to mess your day up, man. They hate people, man. And they come at you. You think I'm kidding? The other day I opened up the thing because I don't know. I wanted to do something, defrost the refrigerator. Damn thing comes out from on top of the refrigerator, goes right at my hand. And I hit it at the last second, knocked it down, and I crushed this freaking everything. You filthy. I mean, did you ever see that old war movie with Robert Taylor, Bataan? The very end of the movie, he's machine gunning Japanese as the scroll comes up. Yes, brave Americans died on Bataan, and they will not be forgotten because MacArthur's got. And he says, come on, you dirty jet. That's how I feel with these wasps. You stinking. Now I'm going to kill you. And then I found out yesterday when I got home, Maria had gone over to the thing because she wanted to empty out some tray or some crap, and the freaking wasp hit her. It stung her on the elbow. Now, she's allergic to bee sting. Now, I don't know if you know what being allergic to bee sting is. It can be a bad thing for people that are allergic. I mean, your head swells up to the size of a freaking Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade balloon. Your head, your whole body, you can't breathe. I mean, it's a serious thing. I heard about this. I says, you got to go to the hospital. She goes, no, it's a wasp, and it happened 2 hours ago, and I think I'm okay. But her elbow swelled up. I said, those stinking, dirty bastards. You bastards. So I got in my car. I'm driving home. I'm finding out about this as I'm going home from work last night. You know, I mean, your head will swell. You look like you've never seen Jack from the Jack in the Box commercial. That's what your head looks with the pointed nose and everything. So anyway, I said, you filth. So I'm in my car racing home. It's like I got a date with destiny. I'm going to kill you. Oh, I'm going to kill you. You stung, you hit my wife. Her elbow is swollen. She's feeling lousy, and you stink, and you're making it now so nobody can go near this cooler to get a freaking beer out of it because you guys have taken over my barbecue. So I got home last night, and I pulled the hose around to where that little cooler is. Now it's unplugged in the back because we're defrosting it, and I knew that wasp nest is back there, and I didn't want to pull the thing out because I didn't want to get stung. I turned the hose on full blast, and I got a light out in my backyard. I got a big light, and I got a light in the pool, and I had both of those lit, and I turned that hose on, and I'm spraying hell out of wherever these wasps are, and both those lights go out. I shorted out my freaking light. Now I'm really pissed. Now I'm, oh, you dirty, you filthy. I shorted out. I got one of those GFCs. What's GFC stand for? Ground something? Yeah, you got to have these plugs where if you get water on it, the electricity cuts to it so nobody gets electrocuted. So I got all of those outside in case, you know, the kids are running around. I don't know what they're going to touch a plug and there's water from a sprinkler or something, right? Freaking wasps. Not only they sting my wife, they killed my freaking barbecue light. This son's a bitch. Excuse my language, but I was angry. Man, I said, oh, I want to kill. So then I get in the car. I get some wasp spray, you know, the kind that'll kill these wasps. Now, this morning I got out there. I said, I won't screw with it for the rest of the night because there's no light out there. I got out there this morning. I pulled that barbecue out. I pulled a cooler out, and I see drowned, wet wasps crawling along the guy. I'm thinking, bitchin'. They're drowning. You know, they're like dead. They're, you know, like just crawling across the cement. And I look inside, and sure enough, there's a damn wasp nest up there, man. So I hit that thing with the bug spray, and I killed every last one of them. They're dead. They're dead. And there's nothing nobody can do about it. Just remember in Goodfellas when they said, hey, what happened to Tommy? He's gone. What do you mean he's gone? He's gone and there's nothing no one can not do about it. Remember that? Well, that's those wasps. What happened to Joe Pesci in Goodfellas? That's what happened to the wasps. But to answer Craig's question, he's asking me right now, do my lights work? No. I got to get an electrician in there. What the hell do you think happened? Did I short something out at the breaker box? Yeah, I got to get a new fuse. That pisses me off. Pardon my, my unrestrained manner in communicating here. But, you know, these wasps, they killed my barbecue light. They killed the light in the pool. So then I had to go check to make sure the damn pool filter worked. It's still there. I don't know. Anyway, like you should have my problem, right? Okay, so, but this morning Maria's elbow was still, like, swollen. And I said, you got to go take a Sudafed or something. I don't know. Like an antihistamine, you figure? I'm going to come home. She's there. I got Jack from Jack in the Box for a wife. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget, you get the best of the Phil Henry Show CD. We'll tell you how. And we're playing When It All Start to Suck coming up. 1-800-449-8686.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, so one guy called and said there should be a reset switch on the GFI Well, these are outdoor plugs, and there isn't any reset switch. I looked for it. I didn't see a reset switch anywhere on these outdoor plugs that I sprayed with water to try and kill the damn wasp nest. And I'm just hoping I didn't short the whole damn yard out. You know what I'm saying? I actually tried my barbecue to make sure that the igniter still worked. Yeah, it does. That's all I care about, really. I mean, you can still swim in a damn pool without lights, but I can't play poker out there. I used to like to play poker out there under that big light, bring my friends over, and now I got to, like, what? You can't play in a house because you can't smoke cigars in the house. See, this is my life sucks, huh? All right, anyway, it's time now for When It All Start to Suck, 1-800-449-8686. Got a few categories, and you can mention categories of your own. In fact, I got David hanging on here. When airline service started to suck, that's a good one. How about when cars started to suck? You got it. You know when cars began to suck? The mid-sized Japanese import, and this has got nothing to do with, you know, feelings of nationalism or xenophobia. It's just that the design of the mid-sized Japanese import infected every cool-looking car, including the Mercedes. Mercedes is an ugly automobile now, just about the mid to late 70s. Mercedes has got an ass end on it now that looks like your average Taurus. I saw a guy driving down the street yesterday, on the freeway, going home. It was in a Mercedes. I said, Jesus, is that ugly. Boy, that's ugly. I can't tell you what it looked, just to me, it looked like just a regular Buick or something. Not that Buick's bad, but a Buick at least looks like a Buick. When a Mercedes starts looking like a Buick, something's wrong. Remember when Cadillac looked good? Do you remember when BMW was actually a sign of some kind of monetary status? Now every redneck with a trailer pulls it with a BMW. David, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good, Phil. How you doing?
Good.
Well, actually, I think airline service really started to suck in the late 60s, early 70s, when the ticket prices, they dropped so low that every obnoxious loudmouth could pretty much get on a plane right next to
you. You mean when it got cheap to fly?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, when it got cheap to fly, you had the lowest common denominator sitting right next to you drinking all the beers and stuff.
That might have been me, David. I was around 18 years old when those prices went down, and I used to fly the $10 red-eye to San Francisco.
So you know what I'm talking about, right?
I was that guy that you were irritated with.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
All right, pal.
All right,
thanks a lot.
Man.
Bye-bye. That means that he's, like, how old now, 78? I was that guy. I used to fly the red-eye to San Francisco for 10 bucks, and I would sit there and, you know, get hammered all the way up. Back in the day when you're smoking and everything, and it was great. That was me. How about when eating out started to suck? You know, it used to be kind of cool to eat out, and then it started to get kind of weird. And the reason, I think it's Sizzler and that all-you-can-eat salad bar bullcrap. Because, first of all, if you think about Sizzler, that's not Sizzler. I mean, I'm sure they do a fine product. But just think about it from this standpoint. Discount steak. Yeah, scares you, doesn't it? I can tell you can get an inexpensive meal. That sounds delectable. That almost sounds edible. When I tell you can get a discount steak someplace and the salad bars, man, salad bars, you know when salad bar, steak and all you can eat shrimp, all you can eat. Yeah, why does that not? You know when salad bars started to suck? When they started putting the freaking cottage cheese out there and the fruit slices. Hey, I'm not having breakfast. I want a salad. And if you're putting that cottage cheese and the fruit slices out there because you're too cheap to put out like hearts of palm or some cool-ass caviar or something like that, I don't want to know about it. Get out of here. The cottage cheese, fruit slices. You know, and this is not a salad bar. Iceberg lettuce, those little round tomatoes, blue cheese dressing, onion slices, ranch dressing, and there you go. That is not a salad bar, man. Richard on the Phil Henry Show. Richard.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Good, how are you?
Phil, listen, let me tell you something. I'm not much of a butt kisser, but man, let me tell you, your show is one of the only shows that gives me a belly laugh. Some of these things you get into are just insane.
Thank you.
I admire your stamina, man. You got it. But anyway, listen, my what started to suck is Saturday Night Live.
Yeah,
I
when did that really start?
Saturday Night Live is doing on the air, to be honest with you.
What happened to that show? When did that start really blowing
up? Oh, my God. I don't know where it is. I don't know what it's still doing on the air. I mean, I try and watch it because I've always been a fan of Saturday Night Live, and I'm hoping for something to rub me, but it's the same crap day in
something
I don't
to rub
know,
you.
Several years now, I think.
Well, you know, I actually think the last couple of seasons, maybe three seasons, have been pretty good.
Maybe I should start watching
you
it again.
Should, you should.
I kind of gave up on it.
But there was that dark age, and everybody knows the dark ages of Saturday Night Live probably started somewhere around the time that, you know, Murray and all those guys left the show.
Exactly.
And then they got into, although they had flashes of brilliance with the Farleys and with the, you know, even Joe Piscopo had his moments.
Sure.
As an
sure.
ensemble, it really blew. And,
right. Well, let me tell you something, Flan. You're number one. I love your show, man.
Well, thank you.
Take
okay,
care,
well, thanks
buddy.
For calling in. I don't think he was all that interested in the topic. He just wanted to talk to me. But thank you very much, for, Richard, Paul, Ed. What's his name? But he brought up a really good point, and I think it needs to be said. I forget what it was I wanted to say. No, it the whole thing with Saturday Night Live is, first of all, you start with the brilliant early years. Yeah, okay, everybody knows that. I mean, nobody's going to debate that. And then you go with these, there was these flashes of brilliance, the Eddie Murphys and Dana Carvey's moments, you know, and they all had moments, but as an ensemble, it just wasn't making it, you know. And some of this stuff was so horrific, so depressingly bad, you wondered, what happened? Is there, you know what, I think I know what's going on here. Somebody shot the directors and writers, and they had to bring in people from, like, English 101 to do the show. They had one time that was so freaking unfunny, they were trying to satirize Miami Vice. So they had that Kevin Nealon guy and Alec Baldwin come in, only it wasn't Miami Vice, it was like Cheyenne Vice. It was a Western. I don't know. They were coke-snorting cowboys, but it just... I don't know. Maybe it's me. I think it's just me. I think it's all of that acid finally catching up. How about when did the single-season home run record start to suck? How about the minute Barry Bonds started chasing it 4 minutes after Mark McGwire said it? That's when that started sucking. 1-800-449-8686. This is When Did It All Start to Suck? You can join us with your take on that. Scott, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just got to... One category to add, when did sitcoms start to suck?
Yeah.
You know, my opinion on that is it seemed to go downhill when Fonzie jumped the Shark Tank.
Fonzie jumped his Shark Tank. I don't know that episode.
That's when it started to go down. And
when
then
Fonzie
then you had
jumped
the
Shark Tank. All right, how about when stand-up comics started to get their own sitcoms? There's a really good... How about when... Jeff Foxworthy got a show. How about Grace Under Fire? Yeah, sure, I'll have a cocktail. How about Ellen? How about Titus? How about Newhart? How about John Larroquette? How come he kept getting shows? There's a guy who got like 19 shows, the John Larroquette show. And then there's the John Larroquette show. And then there was the other John Larroquette show. Then there was Bob. Then there was Newhart. Then there was Bob Newhart. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Paul on the Phil Hendry Show. Paul?
Paul.
Yeah, yes. That's you.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's like a real drudgery to go to work. After 73, you can't drive a muscle car.
Now, what do you mean a muscle car?
Something with some punch.
Something that'll get you can get your muscle into?
I can pass my compadre next to me.
So what are you talking about? After 73, what happened?
They put the emission control.
So you cannot drive those, you know, like your car lowered 3 inches off of the ground Tell Her She's Lovely, La Bamba on the back window and the Chi-Chi balls.
I'm talking
and that
horsepower.
Whole kind of the air scoop. Oh, horsepower.
Yes, sir.
The tuck and roll with the, you know, the midnight blue El Camino.
Absolutely.
You know, and the chain, kind of the chain steering wheel thing. You do that?
No.
And the half moon hubcaps. You're just talking about emission control. You're just talking about pure horsepower and power.
I'm talking about safety with having power.
Well, now what are you doing with all of that power?
Enjoying the hell out of it.
Well, what do you mean? You're racing down the freeway?
No, if I need to go up a ramp and get around some, like, blue hair, I can do that.
Go up a ramp?
You know, a freeway.
You mean
ramp.
If you have to jump a ramp? You have to, in other words, if you're on a freeway and you need to jump over another car?
A blue hair.
A blue hair?
Yes.
A nose hair?
No, a blue hair.
I don't know what you're saying. Okay, I know what he means, old people. Okay, muscle cars, yeah, whatever. 1-800-449-8686. You know, the only place where I've ever really seen good muscle cars is California. That's the only place. And I think it's not because they don't have them anywhere else, but the rest, about 6 months out of the year, everywhere else, it's snowing. You can't really go outside with that thing. And so, you know, California, you drive down the road and you see like Model A's. You see Grandpa's got out his Roadster. Somebody's driving a Stutz Bearcat. Somebody else got a 57 two-tone Chevrolet. Somebody going down the road there and they're in their 60 Corvette, you know, or their original 58 T-Bird. And some of them, these car clubs, man, out of East L.A., those guys have got. What is, just tell me, what is it with the car going up and down, you know? It looks like a hydraulic thing with the cars, you know, like they're really happy cars, what it looks like to me. Yeah, man, when I see a car doing that whole hydraulic thing, there's a car that's having a good time. Just look at that thing just going up and down. And, woo! Yeah! It's like if nobody was driving it, it would still do that. It's like a dog or something happy to see you. Your car is going up and down in the garage. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And we're playing, we're just talking here, but it's when did it, you know, generally when you want to talk on the radio, you got to give it kind of a focus so that people know what the hell it is you're talking about, which we ordinarily don't do here. But today, we're bringing up various things and asking when those things really began to suck. For instance, cop movies, as you know, suck now. Don't you? Don't you think? I mean, especially the buddy cop movies. Now, we can trace directly when those buddy cop movie, you know, that whole shtick started really going downhill. That buddy Lethal Weapon franchise, man, after the first movie, and Mel Gibson with that Vietnam vet burned out I'm insane thing. But there's a whole generation of vets that want to thank you, Mel, for that. Boy, if they don't think they're goofy and crazy, if the Vietnam veteran did not have the stigma of being some burned out, crank snorting, fatigue, jacket wearing, sitting on the sidewalk, hello, help me, I'm a vet, sign carrying, burned out, homeless mother, then you sure as hell put him on the map as that. I'm a cop and I hold down a job. I just happen to be a Vietnam vet, so that means that I am borderline insane. I'm borderline homicidal maniac. But you know, we're really trying to pay homage to the great Vietnam veterans. Yeah, let's not forget that you're really doing a lot for them since everybody thinks they're baby killers. And of course, you're really dispelling that myth, aren't you? You weird freaking Australian asshole. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, yeah. I was going to say talk radio sucks, you know, because, well, not entirely, but there's so many Rush
Limbaugh. No, it sucks. I agree with you. Yeah.
No, I mean, there's so many Rush Limbaugh clones. You're not that bad, but there are a lot, like the whole Condit thing, but I think you should just make it all media. Right now, the media, there's too much of it. They make up news.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about, like, the 24-hour news channels.
What do you just, think it all blows?
It's not that it all blows, but there's too much of it. It's insane
what
right
is?
Now.
There's too much what, news?
No, there's no news. It's just talking. Talking kids talking to each other, talking about each other, talking about
what
someone else said
about the news. We need more music?
Yeah, more music would be fine.
Like what kind of music?
Any kind of music.
Like
I mean,
P. Diddy, Sean Puffy, Blue Cantrell, Alicia.
No, but we don't need to have like made up. Like we should just call. We shouldn't call them news channels. We should call them discussion channels. Okay, call them what they are, or propaganda channels, where each advertiser decides what they want to push for the day. Like let's say there's an advertiser who wants to off a population. Let's say that they want to exterminate.
How about if we just have a 24-hour Because I Got High channel?
What?
How about if we just have 24 hours of Because I Got High?
That would be cool. I mean,
why do they need to call it that when you already know what it is?
No, but that's less damaging than what they do right now. The problem is people have agendas. They claim.
You know, you're not talking about anything that I thought you were going to talk about. I thought you said that radio started to suck when the first guy ripped off Rush Limbaugh. Is that
it? But I mean, that's like how long do you want to go on that? I mean, okay, yeah, okay, that's true. But I mean, like, how many Rush Limbaugh clones are there? How many other talk radio shows? And they're more and more racist, more and more offensive. I mean, there are tons of them that are just either doing the same thing or taking it to an extreme. But,
well,
I mean,
it's just that's what's selling right now, being a conservative host, you know, talking about what a pile of crap Clinton is, the liberals are this.
Exactly.
And that. That's just the shtick.
But not only that, you also have to go into the, there's a lot of race baiting, and they bring it up all the
time. Yeah, well, I mean, they know where white people live, man. I mean,
I know, but that's not really entirely right, because it's inflaming people's sensibilities, and it's...
Oh,
it's,
white people are all hung up. Look, I'm doing a poll today on my website. Who I'd like to see break Mark McGwire's home run record, Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, or any other white man? Now, what do you think's leading?
Well, I'm guessing the white man.
You got it.
I know, but that's... See, but you will pander to that, too, I'm sure.
I know I'm pandering, and then most of those jackballs that voted for that don't really mean it. But it just... It shows you that when it comes time for somebody to step up to the plate and show who they are, most people just want to show you what an asshole they are.
No,
that's
I,
really what they really want. They just want you to see what a moron they are.
No, but I think the point is you can educate. I mean, you can be fair with it. You don't need to pander. Like, you can say,
now, you
okay.
can't educate. Now, get out of here with educate. You want to get an education? Go to school.
No,
radio
no,
is
no.
not for educate. You got to listen. Now, listen to me, Jennifer, okay? I'm older than you. Television and radio is not to educate it. You couldn't educate a guy to wipe his own ass with radio or television. This
sure.
is not an education medium. This is because people think they can sit down and get the truth out of this medium. We now have generations of morons, whereas they could have gone to the library, they could have gone to a newsstand, and they could have actually educated themselves. They sat down, they believed the hype about how they could get the, quote, truth off of television and radio, and now look what we got. We got the most misinformed. We got a president who, yeah, I understand, I'm being very cruel. He's probably a wonderful guy, and he's a real brain surgeon.
No,
George Bush.
That's not necessarily true. I mean, look at the whole Florida mess. Where
what about the Florida mess?
But look how much people learned. Everybody
what did
knew about
they
the
learn?
Electoral College. Everybody
I'm going to ask
a
you.
Lot through that whole thing.
Let me ask you, what did they learn?
They learned about the Electoral College. They learned about the Constitution.
They did? About, really?
Yes.
They might have been broadcasting
know so
crap
much
about.
More about the Constitution and elections. Than they
you're
ever
talking
did
about
prior
you.
To it.
You're talking about you. You're not talking about everybody else.
Oh, everybody else. They were like, don't recount. Don't. I mean, everybody knew a lot. Okay, let's face it. The most ignorant person out of your audience, and I'm sure there are plenty, but the most
no
ignorant
kidding.
Person knows a lot more.
Well, that would
than
be me.
It.
Huh?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Well, she's right, but she's wrong. No, we didn't learn anything from the... If you want to learn something about the Electoral College, about recounts, you got to open a damn book up or a newspaper. How many... If you want to know about the Electoral College, read the Constitution of the United States. Now, how many people did that? Now, she's hoping people got smart. She's hoping that people learned something from all that crap that went down back in November. And I hate to break the news. No, they didn't. All they did was make a lot of jokes about dumb old people that couldn't vote. We got some concept about pregnant chads. People had a whole lot of crap going, and they couldn't decipher any of it, man. I'm not saying people are uneducatable. I'm just saying this ain't the place to do it. You can't do it. Why? Because this is a commercially run enterprise. And that means that you have to make money. And what does that mean? You got to get audience. And the last thing that people... Oh, yeah, okay. Lecture today on the splitting of an atom. Hey, I bet you they just sell out for that one, wouldn't they? No, you have to entertain. You want to know the most educational show on radio today? My show. We lay the truth out better than anybody, man. But we do it in such a subtle way, and we don't really draw so much attention to ourselves that everybody just thinks we're a bunch of dumbed-down clowns. You're really dumbing down the sound of my radio station. You know who's dumb? Well, I don't want to say. I don't want to say. I'm a gentleman, okay? You dumbbell. 1-800-449-8686. I guess that's it for when did it start to suck. Nice knowing you. Phil Hendry Show.